Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night, and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Donna goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling, 25-20. Got a block for Brom. 50, 10, 5. Touchdown. Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it, and he is going to get a first down. Trubisky to the 42-yard line. Oh, my goodness.
In the ring, Steamboat's got him up. A slam. The player is by Craywood, too. He did it. He's got it. Beat the flag whistle. And Blair has done it. Blair has done it.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
And welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. On Snapchat, snapjhood. On the program tonight, we will hear from Alex Brown, friend of the program, Florida Gators apologist, also part of NBC Sports Chicago. We'll get his thoughts about the Bears and their victory against the Jets. We'll hear from him come at 8:15. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Also, we'll have a state of the NFC North. We're going to review the Bears, obviously, because it is a Bear Down Monday. We'll see what's going on with the Packers, with the big unit, Bill Michaels, from WSSP in Milwaukee. We'll hear from Dave Burkett, who covers the Lions for the Detroit Free Press. We'll hear from Henry Lake, friend of the program, from KFAN, talk show host in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And also hear from Nick Friedel, who covers the Bears or the Bulls and the NBA. We'll hear from him coming up at 9:30 right here on ESPN 1000. We think we could pull Nick away from the Bulls and Warriors game, because by the time we get to about 9:30, that'll be about a 30-point deficit for the Bulls. So he won't have anything to do. So I think that that's a great time to talk to Nick. So we'll get his thoughts about the Bulls and the NBA coming up at 9:35 and everything else in between. And open phone lines for you, as I mentioned, 312-332-ESPN. I hope that you had a great weekend. Hope that you have a great Monday night as we keep you company until 10 o'clock. Then hand it over to Freddie Coleman and Ian Fitzsimmons right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So as I told you last week, and you kind of knew this too, right? I mean, you could just take a look at the one-loss record. You could kind of look at what the Bears did a couple weeks ago and size it up against the Jets. And you kind of knew that the Bears are going to beat the Jets, and they did on the lakefront. So now the Bears are 4-3. You beat the teams that you're supposed to beat, and that's exactly what the Bears did yesterday. So I don't get into style points because it isn't college football. Yeah, and I'm not going to break down whether or not the Bears can qualify for the Final Four in the college football playoff, because that's not what this is. We're talking about the NFL. Players can tell you this better than I can, but I will relay what players tell me. They say all the time, like, man, no matter what you see from the one-loss record, every week is a battle. Every week it's tough to win in this league, and it's true. I mean, we know the bad teams are in the NFL. We know the teams in the middle. We know the teams are excellent. We know the Rams are an excellent football team at this point in time. But it's always difficult to be able to win in this league because every other play is a car crash. Every other play is a great fantasy win for you, and sometimes it's not, because you just never know in this league. You never know. But you know what's interesting about this Bears team? What's interesting to me is no matter how you look at the NFC North, billed as the toughest division by many over the past few years, the Bears have 4 wins through 7 games. I had them winning 7. I want you to just think about that just in context, because I know we like to fast forward and try to get to the next game, but just take a step back for a moment and think about what you thought of the Bears coming into the season. Even the most ardent, most optimistic Bears fan looked at this with a cautiously optimistic eye. Because you didn't know what to expect it to do, right? It's like anything else. You want to see your team be able to flourish, but you just never know. The Bears have 4 wins through 7 games. Again, if you take a look at it through a college lens, then maybe that's not as impressive to you based on who they've defeated. But when you take a look at it from an NFL standpoint, to be able to win 4 games so far is pretty strong. You know why that's strong? That doesn't happen under John Fox. That's why that's strong. But it's happening now. And you credit both sides of the ball for that. Balance on both sides of the ball is going to get the Bears to an accelerated rate in this NFC. It's as simple as that. It's something I talk about all the time about how you look at this football team or any team. And I know that you can push the stats on me offensively and talk about the importance of the quarterback. But you know what? It's not the NBA. You actually have to make stops in the NFL. You actually have to make plays. And whether it's one key play to get the other team out of a scoring position or not, you still have to be able to make stops. As we talk about the Bears here with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. You still got to try to stop the other team from getting into the end zone. Defense still matters in this league. I look at 5 things that stood out to me in the first 7 games. One thing for sure is that we're all about the Trubisky learning curve. I don't know how anyone can tell you for sure that Trubisky is the guy. Because based on what we saw from him in college, based on the games that we've seen so far, you see the arrow pointing slightly up for Trubisky because that's only fair. But at the same time, though, you don't expect the world and the pomp and circumstance of Mitch Trubisky just because he's with Matt Nagy. There's just going to be time. It's not where Trubisky's really struggling at a lot of different things, but you just want to see improvement. Sure, so do I. But there's a learning curve there with Trubisky. The same thing that learning curve is tied to is the head coach and Matt Nagy. We've seen the losses, and we've seen where the personnel and the coaches lose at the same time. How many times can we pick apart certain things that we saw from Matt Nagy that we said, that just was a rookie coach call? Well, boy, he should have really stepped in with that timeout at that particular situation. We've seen that through the first 7 games. Now, keep in mind, the Bears had a veteran coach in place for 3 years. And that veteran coach made some of the same mistakes that we've seen here through the first 7 with Matt Nagy. That's why John Fox is on NFL Live and why Matt Nagy's on the sidelines. But the defense also taking 2 steps forward, and they have a bright present and an even brighter future because of this defense. Yesterday's game where the Bears beat the Jets 24-10. The Bears were able to get to Sam Darnold, but it wasn't from the defensive line. But here's what I would want. Moving forward, going into the Bills game next Sunday, and then other games moving forward, hopefully you'll see more from Danny Trevathan as far as getting to the quarterback, and see more from Roquan Smith, and see more from Roy Robertson Harris, and see more from Akeem Hicks and Leonard Floyd and others, because that's so important. I mean, one of the reasons why the Bears are even at 4-3 is because of their early play defensively, how impressed we were. And I'm going to say this every week until we see something different. What's happening with this defense is not tied to one guy. And it shouldn't be tied to one guy. Because before that guy got here, the defense, to me, was a top 10 defense and a defense that was getting it done. But I look at, out of my 5 things, Khalil Mack. And listen, when Khalil Mack came over via trade, I was excited just like you were excited, just like Jeff Joniak was excited.
Let them learn a little about you right now. What's the Mack attack all about?
Oh, domination.
And at that point, Joniak just fainted and needed a church fan to get him up. So offensive weapons in an offensive league also is something that's important, too, for this Bears team. I mean, look at what happened yesterday. Tariq Cohen. Keep proving me wrong, Tariq Cohen. 1 reception, 1 touchdown. Pretty damn strong. Even with the RPOs, as I've been saying with these RPOs, and Felix has heard me say this many times now, okay? And I want him to prove me wrong. I said that if Tariq Cohen is your best playmaker, you're not a good football team. Tariq Cohen got a touchdown yesterday, which is cool. I think that being part of that mix of these RPOs that Matt Nagy wants to implement is fine. That's no problem. But I think I got what I wanted out of yesterday, because what I got is I got Tariq Cohen with his one touchdown on his one reception, five carries, good for 40 yards. Also, I got Jordan Howard running the football well, getting his touchdown, 22 carries, good for 81 yards. I got what I wanted, thunder and lightning, because the offense, as far as the running game, is not just based on Tariq Cohen. It should be based on both of them. And I remember John Mullen being on with us a couple of weeks ago when I asked him about Jordan Howard, and JD was on with us last week, and he wasn't sure about how long Jordan Howard would stay in the Bears uniform because of how razzle-dazzle this offense is. I still believe in them both. I don't think that you could just next year say, Howard, we'll put you to the side. Benny Cunningham can take your spot. That's not how that works to me. I think you need both. And hopefully Jordan Howard will have a long stay with this football team just like Tariq Cohen. But I got both yesterday. I got Tariq Cohen getting his, and I got Jordan Howard being able to control the line of scrimmage and being able to get 22 carries, good for 81 yards, and a touchdown. I was very happy with that. Because a couple weeks ago, you and I were bitching about how the running game needs to be a lot better. And you need to be able to lean on it. Yes, it's not as flashy. It's not the fireworks that you want, whatever. But you know what? The running game still matters in this league. It does. It still matters. So those five things, and talking about the Bears being at an accelerated rate in the NFC, Trubisky with that learning curve, the head coach's learning curve tied to the quarterback, of course. It's almost like 1A, 1B. The defense taking two steps forward, a bright present, a bright future, and Khalil Mack and the offensive weapons in an offensive league. You know, for the fifth consecutive game, the Bears scored a touchdown in the third quarter. And the offense's ability to maintain possession in the second half led to a 24-10 victory against the Jets. It's a positive. Here's a number that you got to keep your eyes on with Mitch Trubisky. Mitch Trubisky went into halftime having completed 5 of 13 passes, good for 116 yards, including a 2-for-9 mark in the second quarter. So you take away the 70-yard touchdown to Tariq Cohen, and Trubisky was averaging 3.8 yards per attempt. That's what I'm talking about as far as room for improvement. That's why you don't know if he's bad or good just as of yet. And again, room for improvement. To me, when I look at this, it's baby steps with this team, because anything that you get from them that's positive is gravy, based on how we were looking at it coming into the season. Some thoughts now from Matt Nagy, the head coach for the Bears. If you missed it, if you were working today or weren't around listening to ESPN 1000, that's why we have our show here weeknights at 7, just for you to catch up on some things that you might have missed. So here's Matt Nagy talk about a number of things. Number one, he talks about Mitch's mechanics against the Jets.
Yeah, there's a couple throws to the flat where he was a little off. The one that you may be talking about specifically was one to Tariq Cohen to the right side. To
bench on the first down.
No, this was one.
You're talking about the check down there?
Yeah, down in the red zone. Yeah, down in the red zone. And there was a defender there, and he dropped his arm angle did get low, and it dropped his elbow, and the ball went a little bit inside of Tariq. No, the other one that you're talking about, that was a throwaway there. That wasn't, he was looking to go somewhere else, and then his reaction was to just quick come to the flat. And when you can't see where that linebacker's at, if you throw one to the flat and it's accurate and you don't know where that linebacker's at, that's a pick six. So that one was a throwaway. There was one to Jordan to the flat where they kind of sank and Jordan was in the flat. Jordan drifted upfield a little bit, but he can make that throw. So, those are when he drops the arm angle. That's any quarterback. When you're off, when your weight's off balance or your feet aren't right, your stride or your timing's off, you know, it's natural to be a little bit inaccurate.
Tell you one thing, the Chicago press has to be happy that Matt Nagy is so wide open and will give you a minute 9 soundbite on Mitch's mechanics. Like the 35 seconds of that is the reporter going, I don't know who that was, but the reporter going back and forth with Nagy about that one pass. Oh, no, you're talking about the other pass. No, you mean the pass where he threw three quarters? You mean the one he was off balance? The one he threw a touchdown with? You mean that one? No, it's the other one. How about this? How about on Wednesdays? It should just be about the 29 pass plays by Mitch Trubisky. How about that? Just break down each one. Have, like, you know, get the old pointer out.
Right. Do a big film session. Get the whiteboard out. That'd be fantastic.
How about that? Just like science class or whatever, or arts and crafts. Just bring it down. Just bring down the old
projector screen.
Screen. And just turn on the film. And just turn on the film and just break down all 29. Have every reporter ask about each pass. So now you got 29 questions. Now you can ask about every single pass attempt, whether it was complete or not. Don't do that on Monday. Just get on to it. For God's sakes. 35 seconds of, no, it's not that play. I meant the other play. No, the one in the third quarter. No, I meant the fourth quarter. I mean, the one in the first quarter, I was like, during the timeout when, like, CBS went to, like, a 30-second timeout and they came back and it, no! What? Oh, anyway. So, when it comes, I think that's a good idea for Wednesdays. It would just, that way you don't waste my time. It's just trying, like, clearly we're talking about certain plays that take place with Trubisky. Everyone wants to break down the incompletions and completions. I don't need that. Let me just watch the game, and then I'll tell you how you did, yes or no. It'll give you the A, B, C, D, or F when it comes to a letter grade from Mitch Trubisky. It's really interesting. So I think I unplugged my phone here. Just by with all that. See, my phone's dead. Anyway, Matt Nagy talking about a number of things, including talking about why was Mitch more on point in the second half?
No, I don't know exactly. You know, I think for all of us, you know, the mentality of just coming back out, it was, you know, we felt like we were just off a tick in the first half. So everyone's got to reel it in a little bit and come out and just be a little bit more detailed. Myself included has to be more detailed. And I thought we toned it up a little. The guys were focused. And again, I'm going to go back to, if there's one key drive in that game, it was scoring a touchdown after they had their touchdown for the offense.
Man, Todd Bowles, the head coach for the Jets, didn't have many answers because the Jets are 3-5 going the wrong direction. But here's the thing. It's the same situation. Jets have a young quarterback in Sam Darnold. They drafted him high because they need to have someone to be the face of the franchise. They need to have a cornerstone at quarterback. And many thought coming out of USC that Sam Darnold, who looks like American Dad, probably would be that guy, right? Good morning, USA. So Sam Darnold, there he is, talking to his goldfish. And so there is Todd Bowles talking about trying to stop Trubisky.
Yeah, we had him in the first half. Second half, he got out. I mean, we chased him. We made some plays, and he made some plays. You got to give him credit.
That's it, 6 seconds. And then Sam Darnold.
Well, he played tough. I mean, we knew it was going to be a tough game. It was one of them type of games with the wind blowing. When it's not there, he threw it away, but he didn't turn it over, and that was the main thing, and he's giving us a chance.
And American Dad on the loss.
Well, it's frustrating for everyone. I mean, we just got to play better. We got to, like I said before, it's about staying in manageable down distances, first and second down, getting off the ball, running the football, and completing the football. So that's really all it is. You know, if we can do that, we'll be a good football team.
So thoughts there from Sam Darnold. So it's the same thing where the Jets are in transition, trying to work with a young quarterback, trying to figure out who their cornerstones are. And with the Bears, when I say it's much faster, is because when you have a top five player, in not just on the defense, in the league, in Khalil Mack, top five, top ten, you and I can make the argument. But we're talking about impact players, right? Khalil Mack's that guy, top ten player. So that makes you even better because now you have some weapons here offensively, or if nothing else, you have a system in place offensively, a Jordan Howard, a Tariq Cohen. Then you're trying to work with Anthony Miller, and you're trying to work with Taylor Gabriel and Trey Burton and find out, you know, who can be able to accentuate the offense with Mitch Trubisky. But having a great defensive player on the other side, that kind of gets you a little faster when you need. Here's why I know I'm making sense. Watch the Raiders lately. Yeah. When you don't have someone on the other side that is just not just a difference maker, a great player, and he's not there. Now, I'm not saying that Khalil Mack is an offensive player, but just having someone that can be able to get you some three and outs, and when you don't have that, then you look like the Raiders. And you look like John Gruden. With the Bears, with Khalil Mack, when healthy, he's kept the Bears in ball games. Let's talk about the Bears with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Some interesting numbers coming out of this as well. The tackling was sound throughout the defense, as I was reading The Athletic earlier today, as Sam Darnold averaged 5.3 yards per attempt. The Bears' defenders covered well and didn't give up an explosive play. The Jets had only one play go for more than 19 yards. That's a 29-yard pass that Kyle Fuller almost intercepted. But a couple of key numbers out of this as well that stood out to me in this piece from The Athletic, and that is this. The Bears entered Sunday 16th in the NFL in opposing quarterback completion percentage and held Darnold to 14 of 29 passing and a rate of 48.3%. Defense, again, doing this without Khalil Mack is what we talked about last week. I said that if Khalil Mack's 100%, don't put him on the field. And then there's even questions like, should he even play against Buffalo? Probably not. If you think that you're ready, and you think that your team is ready, then you save him and you put him on ice until he's ready to go. And then down the stretch, Khalil Mack can really pay dividends for your football team. But Khalil Mack at 30%, 40%, not good enough, because you have to protect the investment in that regard. See, and with Leonard Floyd being on the field, I'll tell you this, and I will continue to say this about Leonard Floyd. As a Georgia fan that watched every snap of Leonard Floyd, Leonard Floyd's a good player. Leonard Floyd's not the reason why that a defense is going to flourish or not. He's just not. Leonard Floyd is going to learn in the NFL, or he's going to perish in the NFL. When I watched him, he was always around the pile. You could always see his number there, but not the reason why he'd make the play. He'd be around there, but not the reason why. Roquan Smith will be that guy. I stake everything on that. Roquan Smith, again, watching all of his snaps as well, Roquan Smith is going to be an all-time player for the Bears defensively, especially if he's blessed with good health, because the motor's there, saw what he was doing. He's making pro plays in college. The game against Oklahoma in the postseason last year, as Georgia took on Oklahoma, you think about Baker Mayfield and Roquan Smith before it got way out of hand late in the game. Roquan Smith was making plays. It was almost like Roquan versus Baker Mayfield. That's how good he is. He is going to be a tremendous Chicago Bear, as he was a tremendous Georgia Bulldog. Georgia's missing him right now. They wish they had him right now to be able to solidify that defense. And I think that Roquan definitely is going to be that guy for the Bears. Well, you know, Eric, let's open the phone lines. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. I already see you guys on Facebook, facebook.com, answering the question. I want you to jump in as well. This is a Bear Down Monday, and I don't want us to get into the habit of, well, the Bears won, so there's no controversy. Well, there's never controversy, but there's always questions. And so here's the question I want to pose to you. For you, the Bear fan, tell me this. What has impressed you about the Bears so far this season? Why are they 4-3? Tell me how you look at this Bears team right now. After the win against the Jets, likely win against Buffalo. I know Bills Mafia won't be happy with me saying that, because they are a rugged bunch, Bills Mafia. Oh, my God. Especially on social media. But I really think that the Bears have enough to be able to beat Buffalo on Sunday. But you tell me, before we even get to the Buffalo game and talk about that, what has impressed you most about the Bears so far this season? After the win against the Jets, what'd you like? And I'll get your calls in here, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Nobody else is talking Bears football. Go up and down the dial, see if anyone on the AM side is talking Bears football. Breaking it down with you until 10 o'clock. Anybody? Go down. Is Chuck doing it? Is Chuck breaking down the Bears? No, I don't think he is. I don't think that's happening. Is that going? No. So that's why I'm asking you, what has impressed you most about the Bears so far this season? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Still to come, some other thoughts inside the locker room for this Bears team as they beat the Jets. We're talking about it right here on Under the Hood. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone. Hey, yo, J. Hood. Talk that barbershop talk, dude.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Glad that you're with us here on this Bear Down Monday as the Bears, they defeat the New York Jets. Now we're looking forward to the Bills game on Sunday with the Bears against Buffalo. We're getting your thoughts, though, about how you look at Bears football at this point in time through seven games. What did you like most about the Bears' win against the Jets on Sunday? And also, just want to get your thoughts about how you look at this team. What's impressed you most about the Bears so far this season? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. I mentioned five things earlier. I want to get your thoughts as we move forward here. Nobody else is talking Bears football. If you're not interested in blowout basketball, this is why I'm here talking to you about the Bears right here on ESPN 1000. By the way, I've got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see comedian Ron White perform his stand-up show at the Chicago Theater on Friday, February 22nd, 2019. That's how hot this ticket is. We're giving away tickets now. Tickets on sale now at Chicago Theater, Box Office, and Ticketmaster. Ron White, first rose to fame as a cigar-smoking, scotch-drinking funny man from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. And now he's going to be across the street from us here at the Chicago Theater. Tickets are on sale now, but I got a pair of tickets to give away before we're done at 10 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. I'll tell you when to call to be able to get those tickets. Not now, but I'll call you, and then you can call me when you're ready for these tickets, all right? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. What's impressed you most about the Bears so far this season? Let us go to Jim in Kankakee with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000. Hi, Jim.
Good to talk to you, Jonathan. I have a couple thoughts, which I'll give you, and then I'll wait to hear what you got to say first. The Bears were pretty bad last year. I think we're pretty much all agreed on that. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of moaning and groaning about, you know, if the Bears had done this, the Bears had done that, you know, maybe they'd be 6-1 instead of 4-3. I would like to ask if you know of anybody who thought that at this point we'd be talking playoffs with this year's squad. We were just hoping for some progress. So I'm reasonably happy where the Bears are right now myself. You know, obviously I would rather be 6-1, but I'm not totally upset with 4-3. My second point is, you know, let me preface what I'm going to say. I'm not totally convinced on Trubisky yet, but the fact of the matter is right now he's the starter. He's the man they're depending on. Having said that, I wish he'd do a little bit less running and learn a little bit more about how and when to slide, simply because when he gets hurt, and if he keeps running as much as he does, it will happen. You know, what's the Bears' backup plan?
Well, that's two great points that you make there, Jim, and I appreciate your phone call. I'll take the second one first. It is true that a couple things. One, he's got to be able to recognize open receivers quickly. I mean, if it's a quick strike offense, if it's going to be a nickel and dime down the field offense, then you got to be able to recognize those players and your teammates quicker. I know it's easy to be able to just run because you've got open field and you can get your first down that way, but also it's a way for you to get hurt. And I'm not saying that that is something that automatically is going to happen, for Trubisky, but there's always that possibility. Anybody in that field can get hurt. And then when Trubisky's wide open like that, I mean, you just never know if a defensive player is going to take their liberties with a quarterback that's just running roughshod. So absolutely, it's a great point. You've got to be able to connect to your receivers more, because more times than not, head coaches will tell you that's the last thing you want to do is be able to run with the football, right? This is the criticism of so many quarterbacks over the years, where from Michael Vick to Bobby Douglas to however quarterbacks you could think of, they don't want the quarterbacks to run. They'd rather for them to be stoic in the pocket and be able to connect to receivers. And so in that regard, I totally understand what you're saying. You want to be able to do that. As I mentioned before, I had the Bears being 7-9 this season because I was trying to give the Bears the benefit of the doubt. Just because you have a new coach doesn't necessarily mean that for sure that you are a Super Bowl contender. Matt Nagy comes over from Kansas City, first year head coach. He's already going through some growing pains here and there. So here's what I will not do. I will not look back at the previous games the Bears have played and say, well, here's what they should be. This is what they are. This show, we talk about reality. In reality, they're 4-3. They play like a 4-3 football team, quite frankly, because of the mistakes that they have made, whether it's the coaching staff or the players. Everybody's going through it, right? Because it's not perfect. It's not perfect. So 4-3 is exactly what I think that they are. That's how they're playing right now. And again, that's way above schedule. Accelerated pace, I'm talking about with this Bears team. So it's a great point. Jim, I appreciate your phone call. Now he leaves line open, 312-332. ESPN is our phone number here on this Bear Down Monday. It's a simple question. You've seen the games like I've seen. I just want to know what has impressed you most about this Bears season so far. I just want to know, do you see that room for improvement? Is that something that you can see moving forward with this Bears team? By the way, we talk about the Bears defense with or without Khalil Mack. I thought it was strong, but it's definitely could be devastating when Khalil Mack is healthy and on the field. We have seen glimpses of that so far in this season. So the Bears rush defense, rush yards per game. They're holding opponents to 83. That's third in the NFL. Think about that. Rushing yards per game, 83. Third in the NFL. Yards per rush, 3.7. That's fourth in the NFL. And, of course, they have been tremendous against the run because the Chicago Bears are the only team in the NFL that hasn't given up a rushing touchdown this season. The first time the team has not allowed a rushing touchdown through the first seven games since 1987. I mean, and that was the championship run for the Bears under Mike Ditka. So that's, and you know how devastating that team was. Some would say that the 86 team was better as far as defense, but it was as good in 85, clearly, because when you're not giving up rushing touchdowns, there's a couple of ways to look at that. You can be a pessimist and say, well, who's running the football now? And who's? But the other thing is that just the idea that your team is really keyed in on the rush, that you're not giving up any rushing touchdowns, pretty strong. Aaron in Kenosha, Wisconsin on ESPN 1000 with Jonathan Hood. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, nothing much. How you doing there, Mr. Hood?
I'm well, thank you.
Hello.
I'm well, thank you.
How you doing now?
I'm still good.
Okay. I am a long time. This is the first time caller. And I'm not going to judge nobody in the Bears organization. I'm just glad that Chicago Bears are competing. Win or lose, we are competing. We can actually finally hold our heads up. And, you know, and I can walk around with my jersey on, with my shirt on, and we got the NFL on notice. They cannot no more just mark down the Bears. Oh, this is going to be a win. It's going to be a personal mark because we are competing, and I'm just glad of that. That's all I got to say, and have a nice evening.
Thank you, Aaron, for the phone call. Aaron leaves line open. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. He is happy because he's in Kenosha and he can wear his Bears stuff proudly. And good for him, because he's right there on the border, right? He's right there between Chicago and going into Wisconsin. He's right there in Kenosha. Says, hey, you know what? I'm a Bears fan. I can wear it proudly because the team's 4-3. And what an interesting NFC North. How many times have you heard guests, or have you said to yourself or said to your friends, boy, this NFC North is pretty strong? Over the years, right? Like, it's a tough division. Because it could come down to the Packers and the Vikings. And so look at how the division is right now. There's no way. Nobody told me that the NFC North is going to be like this before the season. The Bears are 4-3, first place in the NFC North, followed by the Vikings, who lost yesterday inexplicably lost against the Saints. There's no shame of losing against the Saints. It's just the way they lost that game was just really odd. 4-3-1. Green Bay, 3-3-1, and Detroit, 3-4 in last place. We will have our NFC North review coming up at 9 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. But I just, man, it is really interesting how this NFC North has come about. And the Bears have an opportunity, while Green Bay is not playing their best football, while Minnesota is trying to find themselves as Detroit is there with a new head coach, it's an opportunity here. We talk about, again, accelerated. How are the Bears 4-3? Playing good enough football to keep themselves in a good spot. Aaron, I'm glad you checked in. Appreciate your phone call. Jim in Oak Forest on this Bear Down Monday on ESPN 1000. Hi, Jim.
What's going on, Herb?
Hi.
All right. So, yeah, of course I'm a big Bears fan and go, and it's great that it's 4-3, but boy, oh boy, four losses against pretty bad teams. As much as I can appreciate we win yesterday and so on, I'm just not so impressed with that win as it seems like everyone else is.
Why are you looking at the Bears through college eyes? So let me ask you this. Do you think the Bears are good enough to get to the Rose Bowl this year?
Well, I don't know necessarily where you're going with that.
My point is that you're saying that you're not impressed by the victories. It's not about – you're looking at it through college. This is the NFL. You try to win as – you win it was on your schedule. Could you imagine you and I complaining if they lost against the Jets today?
And yep, and if your goal is to have the best record at the end of the season, then your mentality is fantastic. I want to be a championship team, so you got to see where you level with everyone else. Do you think that game yesterday beats anyone in our division?
Yes, Detroit.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Now, here's the thing. We sit there and we talk about, boy, look, they had no running, they had nothing. But was it because of us, or was it because they're not very good? We had one sack against a terrible team. Where's the rest of the defense? We've noticed, going into this season, we thought we had a top 10 D before we got Mac. And since he's been hurt, we have not been all that great. And again, maybe you don't discount it. I mean, I know there's that old mentality, a win's a win's a win. And if your goal at the end of the season is to have the best record, then great. But you got to be able to beat the good teams when it comes down. The other thing is that now that we've spent some draft capital and we got Mac, we're no longer rebuilding. We've got to win now. I mean, we don't have the longevity of being able to add first and in some cases second round draft picks too over the next couple of years to get impact players. And now, so unless we're almost kind of like the Cubs, we have what we have now. And so the rebuild part has now been dampened a little bit now that we've got Mac. So this waiting for our number two overall drafted quarterback to come around, the clock's ticking now a little bit. And, you know, again, we've got four wins against, you take away the Tampa Bay game or whatever, and boy, a lot of our offensive stats go down. And I'd be curious if you take that 70-yard touchdown screenplay to Cohen yesterday, look at where Mitch's numbers are compared to Darnold.
Well, here's the thing. Even though I work in Disney, I can't just, you know, have a magic wand and tell you that for sure that this is a Super Bowl contender. Yes, we know that the clock is ticking, but you're not getting everything that you want, especially when you look at a team with a first-year head coach and a quarterback that's trying to figure himself out. I mean, you're talking in terms of Super Bowl or bust, and that's not the case for year one. Maybe it is for you, but you're not going to get everything that you want. That's for most teams in the NFL. And so the idea that you could take away the Buccaneers game or you can take away some stats, you don't take anything away. You look at the games for what they are. As I mentioned before, the Bears are not a complete genuine article just as of yet because they're still trying to figure things out. And yes, the clock is ticking because you make a commitment when you definitely lock in Khalil Mack. But the idea that we can look at these wins and losses, and you're looking at it like it's college, I think that's where I'm going with that is you don't look at NFL teams in the prism of, well, they beat the Jets, but I'm not impressed with the victory. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the team. It's about how the team is able to grow. And again, when we do our college show and we talk about, you know, how many points did Alabama win? Win by, and then how many points did Ohio State win by, or how many? That's not what this is. And the NFL is so difficult to be able to win any games. And then when you do win a game, you try to get better the next week and the next week and the next week. So as I mentioned to start this hour, it's not about style points in the NFL. It's about trying to get better in the NFL. So again, if you look at it from a style standpoint, that's why you can watch So You Think You Could Dance. You can look at it from the, you can look at those style points and see whether or not they did the dance that you wanted them to do. But in the NFL, it's different. It's not about dancing. It's about trying to get better every week. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. You know, the Bears still haven't beat anyone good yet. Okay? So who's good? When they beat the Bills, you won't be impressed? When they take on the Lions or twice, especially on Thanksgiving, is that good enough for you? How about a Vikings team that was destined to possibly be a Super Bowl contender? And then the Giants. The Rams is coming on December 9th. What if they beat the Rams? Is that good enough for you? It's not about that. It's about the growth of the football team. That's what it's about. All right, don't forget, we're going to hear from Alex Brown coming up in a half hour. Oh, Alex Brown. We'll talk Bears, but there's going to be some other conversation as well. You can't spell Florida without the Nell.
From your hood to J-hood.
I excel, then propel. The mic is contacted. I attract clientele.
On ESPN 1000. ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll hear from Alex Brown coming up at 8:15. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between coming up at 8:35 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app here on this Bear Down Monday. You're a Bears fan. You watched the game yesterday. That's why I'm here. Check in 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Let's go back to the phone lines. Brian at Antioch with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. So I'm listening to these callers, you know, and kind of going, you know, with it reminds me of the old saying, keeps going through my head, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, you know, and we could go both ways with that. When I'm hearing about, well, you know, if we wouldn't have scored the 70-yard touchdown, what would the stats have?
Go ahead.
And yet it could be played the other way, you know, the other way, if the Patriots would have not let Green Bay come back and score, if we wouldn't have, we would be 7-0, you know. So you can play that game both ways. What it just...
Oh, you're breaking up, Brian. We tried. You're breaking up, but I get your point. Your point is that, hey, you know, you play the Patriots and you played them close. And again, to me, it didn't come down to that one last play on the 1 yard line. The Bears could have did a lot of things better, but that was really a great litmus test for the Bears. See exactly where they are against one of the best in the NFL, definitely the best head coach and the best quarterback in the NFL in Tom Brady. So I totally get that. So it's a good point. I got you, Brian. You were breaking up there, but you got the gist of what you're saying. I appreciate your phone call. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. Have I told you lately about Illinois Media School? Have I told you about Illinois Media School? Well, if you don't like the direction of your life, if you're working in a job that you just don't like, you figure, well, you know, where am I going? I don't want a job. I want a career. I totally understand where you're coming from because I've been there. So I want you to call this number. And it's 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700 for Illinois Media School. You've heard for a lot of years, right? People say, boy, you really love sports. You probably should be a sportscaster. Man, you really love music. You really should be a DJ or you really should be on the air. Oh, you got a really good voice. How come you're not on the radio? How come you're not on television? Well, Illinois Media School can really help you. So I want you to think about it. Radio or TV host. You can be a YouTube content creator, a drone operator, a board operator, a promotions director, or me, a smooth operator. Anything in media, social media manager, call this number, 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700. They offer financial aid for those who qualify, and you can graduate in 8 months. So don't go to the internet and look it up and call from there. I want you to call this number, 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700 for Illinois Media School. And just, it's the Lombard campus. They have a Chicago campus as well. Just get yourself a visit to these campuses and see if it's right for you. Okay. Cause I think it is. If that's the direction you want to go, especially for music or for the things I mentioned, YouTube, content creator, radio, TV host, social media manager, they teach it all there. Eric Ostrowski is a teacher there at Illinois Media School. I'm at Illinois Media School. I'll be there on Wednesday checking things out. So make sure that you call the number, 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700 for Illinois Media School. Hey, you've heard it for a long time. Man, you should be on the radio. Man, you should be doing television. You should do this for a living. Well, try it. Just go to the campus, get yourself a visit, and see if it's right for you. All right, we'll take more of your phone calls coming up, 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number as we do this on this Bear Down Monday. What has stood out about the Bears in the first seven games of the season? I see you guys on Facebook as well, facebook.com, that want to weigh in about the Bears and their victory against the New York Jets. So we'll talk about that. Also, we'll have a wall of sound for you, some things that you might have missed, and your phone calls coming up as you're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I went to the music, Felix, and now I'm completely lost.
I got you.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
I went to the music page and I got completely lost where I'm supposed to go. See, I've got music here. I got a little Earth, Wind, and I got a little Samoa Joe here.
See, I got Jonathan Hood.
Yeah,
you're listening to Jonathan Hood.
See, I got so many things. So now I got to get to. Now I'm trying to get to my page.
Well, everybody's trying to figure out what's going on.
No, people know. Awesome. People know that I'm trying to get to playing Beanie Siegel. See, they want me to play Siegel right here.
Jonathan Hood.
And I got what it takes to rock a mic right here.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.